In today's production, the part of McGraw-Millhaven will be played by Paul Harris. The part of Dick Weiss will be played by Dick Weiss.
Yeah, great to be here.
Nice to meet you, Dick.
Yeah.
Dick is a regular on the McGraw Show and former Metro editor at the Post-Dispatch. He's online every day at his own website, weisswright.com, and editor of the St. Louis Beacon.
Well, a contributing editor.
A contributing editor.
Yes, yes, just one of a phalanx of part-timers and hangers-on.
We're here to talk about all things media, and one of the things I want to ask you about today is a story that kind of bothered me last week. And let's talk newspapers right up front here. The Tribune Company announced that they were going into bankruptcy.
Yes.
And I heard a story, and maybe you can verify this because I haven't read it anywhere. I've only heard it from a friend. And it is a story of the people who had recently been asked to take buyouts by that company. And by the way, the Tribune Company runs the Chicago Tribune, owns the Chicago Cubs, owns Wrigley Field.
L.A. Times.
L.A. Times, a bunch of other newspapers across the country, had an involvement here in St. Louis through Channel 11 before that whole thing went down. My understanding was that people who had taken a buyout were told by Tribune last week that their severance packages were going to be on hold because while the company's in bankruptcy, they had to pay their biggest creditors first and that their former employees weren't big enough.
Oh, I had not heard that.
Isn't that a good story?
It's plausible. It's plausible because, as you know, Paul, in a bankruptcy, you got to get in line.
Yeah.
And there's, I guess there are what you call secured creditors and unsecured, and I would imagine the staff is very, if not unsecured,
so
insecure.
How'd you like that? You work for a place for 20 or 25 years. They offer you a buyout. Don't worry. We're going to take care of you. You'll still get your severance and all that.
It's horrible.
And then you find out, no, you're not going to get any of that. You're screwed. Yeah.
Yes. And the we're sitting on eggshells, the retirees of the Post-Dispatch, because Lee Enterprises is also in some difficulty. And We're getting terrific medical benefits as part of our incentive to leave, to go away. I left 3 years ago, and they raised our premiums significantly, like 11-fold, which actually takes us to about where everybody else is.
Mm-hmm.
So we get some really nice package. And but if they were to go bankrupt, I don't know whether we'd have health care at all. We'd just be Cobra'd, and we'd have to be looking around. So it's really hard to say, but, you know, your pensions, generally speaking, are protected. That's a government kind of guarantee. But after that, it's
You're on your own.
You know, and there's something like, I think this past year, 15,000 journalists were either laid off or bought out, whatever, across the country. Gannett, which publishes USA Today and a number of big city dailies, just laid off 2,000. All by itself, and it's a tough,
it's a horrible
field.
Horrible time. I mean, the broadcast media is hurting, but the print media is hurting even more so. There was another story this week out of Detroit, where the two newspapers—I don't know if they're co-owned or if they share some sort of joint agreement. The Detroit Free Press.
Yeah, it's a joint operating agreement, and there's one company owns the news, and one company owns the Free Press.
But they announced this week that they're not going to deliver the newspaper to your house every day.
Right. Looks like the official announcement's Tuesday, but the word has leaked out that essentially they're going to they will deliver to your home on Sunday, and either Thursday or Friday. Other than that, you've got to go to the newsstand, get your single copy paper. Saves a lot on their costs, but could be a real killer in terms of their circulation.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. If you're not delivering newspapers to people who want your newspaper, which is a diminished number to begin with,
exactly,
don't you sell advertisements based on how many people will get to see the ad, which means you have to print a lot of newspapers and distribute them? And if you're not doing that, does that mean you can't sell ads? Aren't they now going to be in their own little death spiral?
Well, you would think so. Now, on Tuesday, they aren't talking about this announcement as if it's just they're going to cut back on home delivery. They are announcing what they're calling a new business model.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe they will be able to explain to us how they can stop delivering the paper 5 days a week and continue to make a profit. It's all going to be part of that. So I would look for that announcement on Tuesday. We'll all be interested because we would all like to see a business model going forward for print media or for newspaper companies.
Let me tell you something. If you work somewhere and they announce that they're going to announce a new business model, that day you should make up your resume and find another job.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, when the Post-Dispatch was sold to Lee Enterprises in 2005, 2 years before that, I was already looking to, I could see the handwriting on the wall, and I was already thinking about what's my exit strategy.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing to contemplate.
It's like when the new boss comes in and says, we bought the place because of the people who work here. It wouldn't be what it is if it weren't for you.
Right.
When you hear that, go to your office, your cubicle, or your parking space and get your resume ready at Kinko's that afternoon.
The other phrase you'll hear is, we are going to grow the company.
Oh, you heard that one. No, you're not. You're going to grow the company by cutting me.
Yes.
That's what it usually comes down to. So what does all this mean as we approach the end of 2008? For the future of print media, can they move everything online, which I guess is part of the business model in Detroit?
Yeah, I think that's what you're going to see increasingly is that media companies, I don't call them newspapers anymore because they basically are selling information any way they can. They will move online. And as more and more consumers and readers are getting their information either off their laptops or increasingly their cell phones or their iTouches or their iPhones and are becoming increasingly comfortable reading it that way. The problem for these companies is that they're going to have to shrink because where once they owned the market, they had the monopoly on information. They, you had to have own a $10 million printing press to play, and now all you need is a $500 laptop to carve out your little niche. You will find that these companies will be smaller. Hopefully, they'll be more nimble. They still have their brands. People still think of the Post-Dispatch in St. Louis and certainly New York Times nationwide as a credible place to find information that is as close to the truth as you're going to get it in this day and age. But they, as they shrink and as they can do less enterprise reporting, their credibility will also diminish to a degree, and there will be other players, and so they'll have to compete. And you'll find there'll be more layoffs, I'm pretty sure. I think you'll find in a year or two the Post-Dispatch either will not be in print, or you will have a small print edition, which is your guide to the web, essentially.
Well, it's funny you should mention that, because that's what today's newspaper was. I mean, it's the lightest newspaper I've ever held in my hand.
Oh, today's edition of the paper? Yeah.
Literally, if it was 24 pages, I'd be surprised, including an 8-page sports section.
Yeah.
The rest of it was essentially a front page that pointed you to things that are on their STL Today website. The whole left column of that does that, and the rest of it is ads with maybe a couple of column inches on a page devoted to a news story. Now, the question is, in this, quote, new business model, unquote, can they make money from selling ads on STLtoday.com the way they did in the actual touch it and hold it newsprint?
They, not nearly as much. I think it's 10% of the revenue stream, if that, comes from online. And what's a little scary is that in the first few years of online, the increase in ad in the number of ads and the revenue was exponential. It was going up and up and doubling and tripling, although a very small amount. Now it's not increasing nearly as quickly. It's increasing some. So they won't be able to keep up. They'll have a smaller staff. You'll get less original enterprise reporting than you had before. But that's the way it's going, and there'll be more players. I don't necessarily think the consumer – it'll be abrupt, especially for older readers, and they'll miss and grieve over the Post-Dispatch that they used to get, a robust newspaper. But there'll be so many other voices to hear from, and people will find ways to get interesting and useful information out there, because there is still money to be made. It's just that a big company is going to find it much more difficult than a smaller, more nimble, less burdened by union rules and restrictions and so on.
But younger news consumers, and let's call them that because, as you point out, they're not reading the newspaper in large numbers anymore anyway, who still want to know what's going on, in order for them to consume the news, there has to be somebody who's producing that news. And if newspapers aren't doing that, in most towns they are the primary generators of news and information. radio and TV tend to follow and even copy what people in print are doing. So they tend to be the biggest news gathering operations and the leaders in any town. As they go away more and more, I don't think there's all that much slack being taken up by a lot of these other people. Sure, the web offers lots of people who will comment on things. The blogosphere is full of 18 million people mm-hmm. who will tell you why last night's Survivor finale sucked. But there, there aren't going to be that many people who are going to be out covering corruption by politicians and that sort of thing in a first-person mode anymore.
I think that's true, at least in the short run. I think what will happen is that there will be people who will be very smart and good about particular topics. For instance, I'm trying to carve out a little niche here. I have a blog called the Peripatetic Professional. Peripatetic meaning getting around a lot, commuting, riding your bike, walking, taking the Metrolink or whatever. And that will be, for me, one of my little niches in the St. Louis market. And so if you were interested in information about that thing, you can read my blog and go into the Beacon and watch it. And I was live blogging today on the Highway 40 opening. And there'll be other people who will be experts in some things. Then there will be sites that aggregate all these credible people with all these niches. It might be on investigative reporting, or it might be on green technology or whatever it may be. And you will be able to find those people. How will those people support themselves? Well, if you have a blog and you're sort of well known, you can do some public speaking and get fees.
Mm-hmm.
You can be supported by foundation grants. And finally, I think what will happen is that people who are really interested in civic life are going to have to support online journals like the Beacon with their donations. And much like you buy a coffee cup to support public radio here or PBS, you can support the Beacon. If you support the Symphony, if you support the Art Museum, another thing on your list ought to be the nonprofit news organization in your town. So that's another model for going about it. But it's going to be a whole lot different, grandma and grandpa, in terms of your the newspaper.
But another part
what
of
you, what you remember.
Another part of that equation when we talk about the news gatherers is the Associated Press has suddenly found itself in trouble with newspapers and other media outlets around the country saying, you know what, you're too expensive or we don't want to be a part of you anymore. And there are people who are trying to jump in and take those away, right?
Right. The Associated Press in some ways was, if you thought your newspaper was big and arrogant and monopolistic, the Associated Press for newspapers was that Papa Bear who got a little bit too full of himself and charge rates that really could no longer be supported in the market. And people are saying, hey, you know, I can find other sources of information beyond the Associated Press. And it was a big lug. I remember seeing some numbers when I was at the Post-Dispatch, unbelievable lug on your budget to have the Associated Press. But the Associated Press was worldwide. They were everywhere. They had good writers, and they were a credible source for news, but now there are a whole lot of others. And so that model may also be in trouble as well.
Yeah, and if you needed to fill a few column inches with a little story about something bizarre that happened somewhere or whatever it was. But now Politico is offering their stuff to news outlets, and CNN is starting their own newswire.
Yeah, and Politico's interesting because I think they're making some money. What I heard about Politico, and this is sort of secondhand, is that Politico in Washington actually puts out a print product,
mm-hmm.
and they get a lot of ads there, and that's really what's putting them in the black, more so than their online venture.
Really?
Yeah, and that sort of goes against, you know, what you would think, but whatever works. And Politico's got a great group of terrific reporters, and they're credible. And what did it take them? A couple of years to get it going. So
Paul Harris talking with Dick Weiss here on the McGraw-Millhaven Show. Back with more in a moment on the Big 550 KTRS. Paul Harris talking with Dick Weiss in the St. Louis Beacon, who's also online at weissright.com. Talking about the world of journalism and media companies. Dick says he hesitates to call them newspapers anymore because so many of them have an online presence now. One of the stories that I found interesting recently is about stories that are being written for newspapers and for TV and radio outlets that are really nothing more than press releases put together by an industry or by a company, and that then get copied or reported in whole by those so-called news outlets. This has always been a problem, but there was a time where at least it would get identified as this video provided by, or this so-and-so told us this. But there's more and more of that going on with less and less attribution, isn't there?
Yeah, and I think that's, as we were talking before the break, one of the problems with the mainstream media going downhill is there were a lot of checks and balances at a typical and traditional newspaper, a lot of questions asked about sources and so on, and a lot of safeguards in place. Now in the sort of Wild West atmosphere where things are going up on line instantaneously, there are people who are running sites that are more or less steeped in the ethics of journalism, and I think many people are well-intentioned. They just don't know some of the rules of the road. You get a lot of material that is not well attributed. Mm-hmm. And an example of this came up just the other day, and I actually think these people were not well-intentioned, but a pharmaceutical company was hiring ghostwriters to write for professional journals about the wonderful things that their drugs can do.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would prepare these articles, and then they would get a doctor or two or three to sign on to put their name on it, and then it would get published in a professional journal. And this was a piece in the New York Times said that Wyeth, the pharmaceutical company, did this. Hired some ghostwriters and then found the doctors to put their name to it.
Mm-hmm.
The doctors didn't do the research, didn't prepare the article. They did read it. They agreed to put their names to it. And
for a
it
fee.
Shows up. Yeah, yeah.
That's the important part you
right.
have to tell there.
Yeah.
For a large fee.
Right. And this is stuff, these are drugs that are, at least there's some allegations that they can lead to breast cancer. And so these articles are very crucial to the drug companies. And
why isn't the medical community cracking down on those doctors for doing clearly unethical publication of the work that they didn't even write?
And apparently it's just becoming known. And this was the article I'm mentioning here. It appeared in 2003, but Charles Grassley of Iowa, I believe he's a Republican senator, found out about this, and he's making it the subject of a congressional investigation. So you don't – one of the things that I've been pushing and as a newly elected president of the press club is that we really need to educate reading consumers about the things that they're finding online and how to regard them when they run into them. It's not the old days where you had on television Walter Cronkite and at home your daily newspaper where you could people didn't trust them all that much, mm-hmm. but you could trust them more. Now you gotta wonder where things are coming from. And there are lessons to be learned about how to discern fact from opinion and where things are going. But you would never have known that a good medical journal would be perhaps duped in that way.
I got to be honest with you, Dick. I think the cause is lost. I really do. I think the lines have been blurred so much. I mean, between commentary and reporting, there's virtually no line anymore in too many different news outlets, particularly in broadcast outlets. And when it comes to ethical matters like that, you know, this is a, quote, respected publication with, quote, respected doctors who are just willing to do anything for the dollar.
Yeah. And, you know, the other, I guess, television icon that I think about in this regard is Lou Dobbs. I don't know how you feel about him, Paul, but when I see him, he is set up, he is on his set, and he looks, has the bearing, I think, of a Walter Cronkite. But there is so much spin to what he's telling you.
Yeah.
And
he's not
an opinion.
Yes.
But the whole setting makes him look like a straight ahead, matter of fact journalist.
Mm-hmm.
But what comes out of his mouth is entirely different.
Well, most of the cable networks are moving in that direction. Certainly Fox was the first
right.
to be in that way in prime time. MSNBC is having tremendous success with Keith Olbermann and Rachel Maddow in prime
right.
time there. Chris Matthews to a lesser extent. CNN is doing it more and more with Lou Dobbs. And, you know, that's why I say that the line is so horribly blurred. I think news consumers, they don't frankly care about quote, objectivity, unquote, anymore. Mm-hmm. What they care about is who's expressing something that I agree with.
Right. They want their opinions validated. We had a newspaper study done several years ago, and we found that a great majority, something like 75% of our readers wanted a so-called validation.
Yeah.
And
not news I can use, but right. News with my views.
Right. And a smaller percentage, though some, remarkably, wanted news that I guess was a little bit confrontational in the sense that it challenged the conventional wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And the way society makes progress, if you think about the civil rights struggle and the great work that newspapers in the South did, many of them, was by running confrontational kinds of news, things that challenged the wisdom then that, you know, people of color were, you know, being too assertive with these freedom marches and things
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
And that's how society makes progress. Same way with in more recent times with gays.
Right.
You know, and society does change based on the stories that we tell about the people in our society and how they're getting along.
As long as the agenda isn't driven by the almighty dollar. And in too many cases, it is.
Yeah.
Dick Weiss, former Metro editor of the Post-Dispatch. He's online at weisswright.com, contributing editor to the St. Louis Beacon, which is also online. It's been a great pleasure talking to you.
Thanks, Paul.
Dick Weiss here on the McGraw-Milhaven Show with Paul Harris on the Big 550 KTRS.